A new reason to call J.P. Morgan a power player.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We'll have the global perspective on business and economics in a sec. But first, J.P. Morgan Chase has a problem that could cost it hundreds of millions of dollars. Yesterday, we reported that Barclays of Britain stands accused of manipulating the American electricity market. Today, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal report that J.P. Morgan is in advanced talks to settle similar accusations and could end up paying $500 million to make this go away. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission reportedly has evidence that J.P. Morgan figured out what were labeled manipulative schemes to make big money off money-losing power plants that may have caused some power customers to overpay. On the subject of electricity, there's the current heat wave, or should we call it humidity cloud, that's settled over the central and eastern U.S. for days now. Do we have enough electricity to run all this air conditioning? Sarah McCammon reports.
When highs climb well above normal, even for midsummer, that means lots of air conditioners burning up energy. Mike Cormos says no worries, the grid can handle it. He's an executive vice president with PJM, which manages the largest grid in North America from Illinois to New Jersey.
I don't think we're going to break any records at this point, but we are seeing higher than usual temperatures and therefore higher than usual loads.
That much demand can lead to price spikes, but they're usually so short-term that most of us don't notice. Rich Hydorn Jr. is the editor of RTO Insider, which covers the electric industry in the Mid-Atlantic.
Most residential consumers, that's all kind of noise to them because they're paying typically a flat price.
What you might notice is power suppliers asking you to cut back voluntarily. ISO New England is advising customers to turn off lights and turn up the thermostat. Grid operators say today could be one of their highest demand days ever. I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
In India, a major reallocation of government and military resources. Officials there are now planning to create a new army of 50,000 troops to stand at the ready along India's mountainous border with China. This could cost $11 billion over 7 years. The BBC's Rahul Tandon is in Calcutta. Morning, Rahul.
Good morning to you, David.
What has traditionally kept Indian military planners up late at night, of course, is Pakistan. Why the new attention to the border with China?
I think the Indians have been worried about China as well for a long period of time. If you look at the historical dispute over the region of Tibet, it's something that's always been there. Recently, we have seen China moving troops near to parts of India that are disputed still. If you look at Arunachal Pradesh, if you look at parts of Ladakh as well. So I think that is why now the Indians have made this announcement. Simply, what is happening between India and China is that their military relationship is becoming more tense, as they also battle it out economically as well.
So there is this economic angle. Two so-called BRIC countries out there in the global market searching for customers and markets.
I think so. And I think what we're seeing in both countries at the moment is the growth rates beginning to decline. China's down to around 7.5%, India 5.5%. So when they're looking for those new customers, it's becoming more and more difficult for them. So there's an economic rivalry. I think there's a political rivalry as well. Many people here in India want to have the Olympics. Ask them why. They say China's had it. If they've had it, surely we should have it as well. We're also an emerging economic superpower. So I think the rivalry is going to be played out in many, many different areas. Traditionally, I suppose, you look at China and you think it's about hard power. India, you may think, is a little bit more of soft power. I think the Indians certainly would like to change that dynamic a little bit.
The BBC's Rahul Tandon in Calcutta. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Now let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London right now is up 0.3%. The Nikkei in Japan closed up 1.3%.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Native American tribes have given up much land to the U.S. federal government in exchange for promises of funded health care, education, and housing. Time and time again, those funds have been cut, and the current sequester's no different. From the Fronteras desk in Flagstaff, Arizona, Laurel Morales reports.
For Amber Ebarb, it's clear. Sequestration undermines American Indian treaty rights and makes a dire situation even worse.
the suicide epidemic is symptomatic of something that's much deeper. There's also the issues of historical trauma that continue to plague our communities.
Ebarb's with the National Congress of American Indians. She says those problems include high unemployment, drug use, and gang violence.
We can't take any more cuts. Just can't.
That's Kathy Abramson. She heads the National Indian Health Board. Speaking before a Senate committee last spring, she says the sequestration cuts are literally a matter of life or death for American Indians.
Since the beginning of the year, there have been 100 suicide attempts in 110 days on Pine Ridge. Because of the sequestration, they will not be able to hire 2 mental health service providers.
And that South Dakota tribe isn't unique. American Indians have the highest rates of suicide compared to any other ethnic group. The Navajo Nation in Arizona is trying to curb those numbers. At a youth conference in Flagstaff, more than 200 Navajo teens learn how to be self-reliant. Behavioral health counselor Ty Etzedi is one of the speakers.
As young as 9 years old, we've heard of kids committing suicide, all the way up to the elders, grandmas and grandpas. It doesn't discriminate.
Etzedi says the tribe needs more licensed therapists and facilities, especially for kids. But every time he proposes something that costs money, he's shut down.
I have lots of ideas. It's just that too many red flags with the Navajo Nation. No funding, lack of maybe support.
Etzedi points out the reservation is so big, it stretches across 3 states, but the tribe only has 1 facility for teens, which means families have to travel 100 miles or more to get help for their kids. In Flagstaff, Arizona, I'm Laurel Morales for Marketplace.
Fronteras is a public radio collaboration in the Southwest. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.